Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our series of Holocaust responses. And this is from the Shalos and Shuvos Mimamokim in Chelek Dalet, Siman Yud Bet. Sheila, this is the Lashon of the question. Acharei HaShichrur, after we were freed, Kishiyatzanu Me'afeila Le'or Gadol, when we went from darkness to great light, Boy Laiha Nichbud Vahayokar Rib Shin Aleph Neiro Yoyu. A certain person whose initials are Shin Aleph came to me, Vinafsho Bishay Loso, and he asked me the following question. Heyos Shabimeha Rov Azam Motzalo Miflat Bves Echot Hanochrim, Hu Mishbachto, since in the time of evil, in the time of anger, in this horrible period of Jewish history during the Holocaust, he found an escape in the house of one of the Goyim, he and his family. In order to be sure that the Goyim, the Nazis, won't catch them when they were conducting searches from time to time in the houses of the Gentiles to find Jews who were hiding amongst the Gentiles, what he did was he purchased identification cards that testify to the fact that he and his family are Gentiles from birth. So Be'ezus Hashem, he didn't have to use it, because the Germans never came into his hiding place. However, he had these identification papers that testified that he's a Goy and his family are Goyim. And his question is, since he acquired these Tudot Zihui, these identification papers, in order to hide his Jewish background, his Jewish identity, maybe that means that he's denying his Judaism. And he has a din of a mummer. Because look, it says that he's a goy. And therefore, he has a chiyuv tvila, he has to go to mikvah, and he has to be tovel, and he has to be mekabel divrei chaverus, he has to take upon himself once again to be Jewish. Like a mummer who's chozer b'tshuva. Or maybe, no, he never really became an apostate. He never really denied his past. Because during this period, he continued to be a kosher Jew, and he continued to wear tefillin, and he continued to keep Shabbos, and he didn't eat unkosher. And if so, maybe he doesn't have a din of a mummer, he doesn't have a din of an apostate. And therefore, he doesn't have to go to mikvah, and he doesn't have to be mekabel divrei chaverus. He's a regular Jew, he doesn't have to go through the normal process of the mummer, who comes back, proclaims that he's back, he's a good Jew again, he goes to mikvah. And he just bought these identification paper saying that he's a goy to save him and his family in case he needs it. But he never even used it. Because the goy who was housing him, he didn't need them because the goy knew that he's a Jew. And b'chol zot he let the Jews stay. So what is the din of this person? Does he have to take upon himself the din of a mummer? Or is it enough for him to just continue living? He was a kosher Jew the whole time. And he remains a kosher Jew. He never even used these papers. So the answer given by Rav Oshri is as follows. In Shulchan Aruch Yehudei, at the end of Sif Yud Beis, the Ramah writes that a Yisrael mummer that does tshuva has to go to mikvah midrabbanan. And then he also has to be makabel divrei chaveiros bifnei gimel. Then proclaim his return in front of three people. That is the Ramah. So yes, that's the din of Yisrael Mummer, Mikvah, and Kabbalah's Divrei Chaveirus. And in the Pesachei Tshuva, he brings the Magen Avraham, who says that a Yisrael Mummer, who does Tshuva, can even go to Mikvah on Shabbos. Since the Tefillah isn't Midoraisa. If it was Doraisa, he wouldn't be able to go to Mikvah on Shabbos. That would be Asir. But since it's only a tefillah derabbanan, it's not really, the Torah doesn't mandate the tefillah, you're not really making a change. If it's daraisa, it's a real change. But if it's only, if he was Jewish before and he's Jewish afterwards, it's just a mummer, that's only derabbanan, it's not such a strong tefillah, that's mutar on Shabbos. And in the Be'er HaGola, he brings in the name of the Maharshal, and Siman Reish Samach Zayin, Ozvav, the Be'er HaGola brings that the Maharshal says that he heard that that's what they do halacha l'maisa. They take these mumrim and they bring them to mikvah and they also shave off their hair. And the Gra in Reish Samaches in Os Lamed, he brings the Makor of the Ramah, which is in the name of Nemuke Yosef in Perak HaCholets, that a mummer that does tshuva has to go to mikvah, from a story in Chazal and Obus to Rabbi Nassim in the 8th chapter, Mishnah Ches, about a certain young girl who was living amongst Ovdei Kochavim and pretending she was one of them. And even though she never really became a Goya, she never really became a Mumeres, but the very fact that she was living amongst them and she was eating their food, you can't be. A Jew cannot convert to another religion. Once a Jew, always a Jew. But there was this girl who would live amongst the Goyim, so even though she remains Jewish, but since she's living amongst them, and she's eating their food, and she's acting like a Goya, so she has to go to mikvah. So we see from this Gra that the din of a mummer is mikvah. It's tefillah. So that's the question here. So now we see from numerous sources, and that's in fact the minhag, that a mummer who comes back has to be tovel b'mikvah, and he has to be makabel divrei chaveros in front of three people. Now in the Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim, it's in Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Lamed Zayin, it says there, if you hear Kuf Chav Ches, you know they were talking about the siman about Nesias Kapayim, about Birkas Kohanim, that a mummer la'avodas kochav min apostate shouldn't duchen. And Yesh Omrim, that if he does tshuva, then he can duchen. And if he's nanas, let's say he was forced, so then the divrei hakol, he can duchen. And the Tshuvas HaRivash in Siman Dalet, he writes that somebody who's over an Aveira that has a din of Yahar Val Yavor, he was told either serve this idol or die, do this Gilei Arayos or die, kill this person or die, and the halacha is he was supposed to die and he was over the Aveira. He says the Rivash, if he's still careful and he still keeps mitzvahs like other Jews, he's considered for all matters of Yisrael Kasher. He was just over on the mitzvah Saseh Daraisa v'nekdashti b'self b'nei Yisrael of sanctifying the name of Hashem. But he's still considered a Kasher Jew. However, the Minchas Chinuch in the mitzvah Saseh v'nekdashti writes that that's only if they forced him to serve idols, or they forced him to do the other Averas, Gila Rayas, Shvichus Damin. If they actually forced him to do the Avera, then, and that's why he did the Avera, as a result of their force, so then he remains the Yisrael Kasher, even though he should have not done it and taken the death option. But since, at the end of the day, he was forced to serve idols, and not doing so would have resulted in his death, but when he did so, it was a result of this coercion, so he is still considered a Yehudi Kasher who was over on Vinikdashti. Masha Enken, if there was another type of onus, and in order to save himself from this sakana, he was obeyed of a zara, there we don't say that onus, Rahmana Patre. For example, let's say they said to him, we're going to kill you. And he said, alright, how about this? If I serve idols, will you not kill me? Okay. And then he goes ahead and serve idols. So he wasn't coerced into serving idols. He just wanted to serve idols to save himself from death. So in such a case, we don't say onus Rahmana Patre, only if the Avera was done, the actual Avera was done under coercion, and not that he did the Avera to save himself from other tzaras. But the Avera from death. But the Avera, if the Avera was done without coercion, he chose to do the Avera, he wasn't forced on the Avera, and he just did the Avera to save himself from death. There we don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's Patur, that onus Rahmana Patre. We only say onus Rahmana Patre when they actually forced him, they coerced him to the Avera. And if by avoiding the Avera he would have had to die, Seder, but at the end of the day, he was forced to do the actual Avera. If he wasn't forced to do the actual Avera, and he chose to do it, even though he chose to do it because of another problem, because he wanted to save himself, let's say, from death, so he chose to do this Avera, there we don't say onus Rahmana Patre. So according to this, we can say as follows, that this person maybe doesn't have a din of a mummer. This person isn't considered an apostate when he took the identification cards of Goyim. Why? Because it was an ones. He wanted to save his family. He wanted to save his life, like the Rivash says. The reverse says that if, even though maybe he shouldn't have done it, but once he did it, he remains a Yisrael kosher, and he was just mevatel the mitzvah save and ikdash kibisof b'nei Yisrael. However, that's only according to the Rivash, but the Minchas Chinuch, according to what the Minchas Chinuch says, and incidentally, so paskins the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and Simon Reish Hay, that he chose to do it in order to save himself from another onus. So here, nobody forced him to dress up like a goy, to act as if he was a goy, to have, he didn't dress up, but he had goyish identification papers. Nobody forced him to do so. He chose to do that in order to save himself from dying. So maybe then, he does have a din of a mummer. Maybe he does have to go to mikvah. Maybe he does have to be makabel divrei chaveris, like the Rama says. Because he chose that course of action. It wasn't forced upon him. He chose to get these Gentile identification papers. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes there that farhesia is only when you do in front of 10 Jewish people. But if you do it in front of goyim, that doesn't have a din of farhesia of doing it in public. And you're not over on the lav of Lo Sechalu and the Mitzvah Seseh of Nikdashti, because it's like you're doing it Bitsina. You're doing it in private, and you're just over on the Mitzvah Seseh of V'ahavta, of loving Hashem. You should love Hashem with your whole life. So the person is Mevatel that, but here it isn't considered Farhesia, it's only considered Sina. So this person is definitely not Farhesia. He definitely only did it in private, because there were no Germans who saw it. He just used them just in case, and even if the Germans would have seen it, so it doesn't matter. They're goyim, and even other goyim saw it. They're goyim. So in front of Akum, that's not considered farhesia. So for that reason, maybe he's not considered a mummer, because it's only Bitsina. There weren't 10 Jews who knew about this. And not only that, we can compare it to what it says in the Mechaber, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodeus, and in Kufn and Zayin, Siv Beis. At Asir la'adam lo mashu obe kochavim k'tei shelo yargu. So a person is not allowed to say that he's a goy in order that they shouldn't kill him, that he's an idol worshiper in order that they shouldn't kill him. But what he's allowed to do, says the Shulchan Aruch, is he's allowed to wear clothing, then make him look like a goy, and as long as he doesn't actually say he's a goy, he's fine. Because they're coming to their own conclusions that he's a goy. So here also, he didn't actually say that he's a goy. He just had documentation that he's a goy. So maybe then, he didn't even do an aveira. So one could argue with this. Say no, that having documentation that you're a goy is like saying you're a goy. And therefore, he did a big aveira, and he should have died. He shouldn't have done this. However, since he never actually had to use these documents, and he continued acting as a good Jew for all matters, we should definitely be mekel on him, and we shouldn't force him to go to mikvah, and do tvilah, and to be makabel divrei chaveris. Lazos ha-resi lo kanal, and that's the way I paskin for him, that really he remained a good Jew, he never even had to show this documentation to anybody, and you can compare it to what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that as long as you don't say you're an akum, you're fine. And I told him that he didn't get the din of a mummer, because he didn't say he was an akum, and also it isn't considered for hesia. And also, we have the rivash, that he's considered a Yehudi kasher l'chol dvarav, just at worst, beseder. So he was mevatel the mitzvah of an ikdashti, but he's still a Yehudi kasher l'chol dvarav. The Hashem Atov concludes Rav Oshri, Yareinu Neflos, Mitoraso, V'yore Inenu V'mitzvosov, Kedei Shenuchal, L'hodos, U'lehalel, L'shmo Agodol, Alanisim, V'alapurkon, Atshuos, V'advuros, She'asu Yitanu Yachrim, She'eris Amo B'nei Yisrael, L'hatzilenu M'deroivenu, U'menadenu Hagermanim Ha'arurim, Yimach Shemam. God should, who is good, should show us wonders from His Torah, and He should shine our eyes in His Torah, light our eyes in His Torah, in order that we can thank Him and praise Him for all of the miracles and the salvations that He showed to us, together with all the other Jews, to save us from our enemies, the cursed Germans, Yimach Shemam. So that is Tshuva Yud Beis. And now, in conclusion, we're going to do one more tshuva. This is She'elach of Beis, and it was also published in the Hapardes Torah Journal in Adar Aleph in the year Tavshin Chafhei, in the year 1965. However, before we go on to the next tshuva, I just want to add something parenthetical that I don't know if it's parenthetical, I think it's a very critical, but it's parenthetical because if we're learning the tshuvas, this is my own comment and not what the tshuva itself said. That if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and I was actually, this was brought more to my attention by something I once saw in a sefer called Kedushas Avraham. I remember that in this sefer, that it's in the Ramban Shul, in the Old City, so they have an article about this, and somebody says that if you read the Shulchan Aruch, I saw this many, many years ago, but my memory is quite clear that he was the one who brought this to my attention, and then afterwards I looked at the Shulchan Aruch, and in fact, that's really the way it seems. That the whole Isser of saying you're a goy is not because you're denying the fact that you're a Jew. It's not that if you say you're a goy, so it's an Isser just because you deny the fact that you're a Jew. It's not that. The Isser is that you're saying that you're a goy in order that the goyim should think that you believe in their gods. You say you're an Oved Kochavim. Why aren't you allowed to say you're an Oved Kochavim? Because that's admitting that their God is the true God. But let's say you say you're a Jew because you want to avoid being killed. Why are they killing Jews? They're killing Jews not because of our beliefs. It's an ethnic thing. It's like you are a member of the Jewish people. They don't care what you believe. So if you go ahead and tell them you're a goy, you're not admitting, oh, I believe in Yashka. I believe in Christianity. I believe in this. I believe in that. No, you're not saying you believe. In the time of the Holocaust, a person who said he's a goy wasn't admitting to his faith because that's not the way the goy understood it. The goy couldn't care less what you admitted to. He wants to know, do you have a Jewish mother and a Jewish father? So since that's the Isser, and that's what it says even in Shulchan Aruch, it says it looks like you're being molded to their gods. Since that's the Isser, so just even if he would have shown them these documentation, and he would have shown it to 10 Jews, he would have shown it to 100 Jews. So in this case, I don't think the person would have a din of a mumer at all. He wasn't even doing an Isser. And that's really many, many Jews who were hiding from the Nazis and pretending to be goyim. Even if the Nazi would come into the house and say, yeah, I'm a goy, I'm just a member of the household here. So you're not admitting that the Christian faith is the right faith and you're denying the Jewish faith. That's not what the Nazi's asking. He's asking, are you Jewish? Are you a member of the Jewish people? It's not a matter of faith. It's not a matter of belief. It has nothing to do with the moon at all. It has to do with genes. What genes do you have? Oh, I have different genes. Say that. There's no Isser of having Goyisha genes. No Isser to say you have Gentile genes. You can have Gentile genes and still be Jewish. This person's saying, no, I'm a Gentile. My mother's a Goy. My father's a Goy. What do I believe? Who cares? The Nazis weren't very interested in it, but the Nazis were interested in killing. They were interested in killing Jews. Many others, particularly Jews. So therefore, I think that even if he would have showed these papers to the Nazis or to anybody, fortunately he didn't have to, but I still think he would have been a completely kosher Jew and not have been over any Isser. And even if he would have said, I'm a goy, the Isser of saying that you're a goy is admitting that their religion is correct and that Judaism is false, chas v'shalom. But if you're just doing it because you're saying, no, I'm not a member of this ethnic nation, I'm a member of that ethnic nation. So it has nothing to do with beliefs. It's just where do you come from? What's your last name? Is your last name Rosenberg? Or Williamson. So you say, my last name is Williamson. Doesn't mean that you're saying Judaism is false, Christianity is true, chas v'shalom. You're just saying, I'm Williamson, I'm not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I'm not Bernstein, I'm not Feinstein, I'm Wellesley. I'm the Wellesley family, a nice waspish name. But I don't think in such a case, one is chayav al pi halacha to admit that his last name is Bernstein, and that he's Jewish. Because he's not admitting, he has nothing to do with his belief. If they're running after people who believe, so then you're right. If he is denying, he's saying, no, I'm an Akum. And that's the case of the girl in the Avos to Rabbi Nosson brought by the Gra. That there it's admitting to the Ovedos Kochavim, you're with the idolaters. But here, if you would just show them the documentation, I really don't think that there would have been any problem at all. In addition to everything else Rabbi Shuri says, but I think we can certainly add this idea. And with that, we will continue. In She'ela Chof Beis, the question is asked of Rabbi Shri, Achareish Zachinu Hashem Yisbarach Latzos Me'afela L'Or Gadol. After God was mezaka us, that we went from darkness to great light. Kishen Nishbru Motos Uleinu, when the heavy burden that was upon us was broken. V'nishtachrarnu Milios Avodim Le'Avdi Bishi Yamach Shemam. We stopped being servants to these horrible people, these Nazis. May their names be blotted out. Nishalti al yedei ishat seir liyamim. I was asked by a young woman, ubas tovim, from a good family, me achos me amishbachos hanechbados, from a very distinguished family, a good tire azisa yiddish amedel. Heyos shahagirmanim harurum chakuku al zro biksovus kakea. Kikei nagu lachkok al zro osehem, shel kluei amachanos misbar kol osir. Asher hayalom misbar, that since they tattooed on the flesh of the arm of all of those people who were prisoners in the camps, everybody had their own number. Heim nichtavu b'sifrei achayim v'ameisim. And according to these numbers, ulefi amisparim elu heim nichtavu b'sifrei achayim v'ameisim. According to these numbers, they were written in the book of life or death. Mi b'kitzo, mi lo b'kitzo. Who at their right time, who not at their right time. El alav otlis anas bavodas parech. But first, they have to work hard. They have to be tortured. Ki al hakol nagu azeidim harurim statistika meduyeket. The Nazis had exact statistics for everything, as is well known. They were very, very methodical, very orderly. V'yachshav l'achar ha-shechur b'ritzana l'havir al yedei nituach plasti es hamisbar hazeh. And now she wants to have plastic surgery because it reminds her of the horrible days of being in Nazi captivity. Hamala lefanas zichron ha'emim shel hayomim hanoroyim ha'ele eis hayosan asuna b'yadam l'shevedu l'chesed. She remembers those horrible days she was in Nazi captivity. V'choshevet ki ve'im timchok mizro es ha'misfarayim hazeh. She thinks that if she erases this name, she's going to forget those horrible, bitter days that makes her so sad and never gives her rest. Because sometimes, from time to time, when she looks at this number, all of a sudden all the horrors that she experienced go through her mind again. And she asked, am I Al Pidin allowed to remove this ksoves, this tattoo, and maybe through this she can forget what happened to her and she'll find some calmness for her soul? So before we continue with the answer given by the author of Mima Makam Harav Oshri Zatzal, I just want to tell a short story that they say in the name of Rabbi Yolosh, the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yol Teitelbaum, the Satmar Rav. They're not going to stop her to say Rav, because the Rebbe was the Rav. He was the Posek. But one time he was in Eretz Yisrael, visiting his Hasidim. And when he was going to leave, one of the Hasidim said, Rebbe, 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 you can't go to America. You can't leave us. Who are we going to go to for brachas? The Rebbe looked at the Hasid, and the Rebbe held Ganfert, and the Rebbe answered that you don't need me here in Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you who can go to for brachas. Whenever you go to shul and somebody rolls up their sleeve to put on tefillin and you see a number tattooed to their arm, to his arm, you can go to him for a bracha. I guarantee you his brachas are something special. A Jew who went through the horrors of the Holocaust and is still putting on tefillin every morning, to such a person you can go to for a bracha. Now let's get to the answer given by Rav Oshri. First, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim Simen Shin Aleph, Seif Chav Gimel, in the name of the Ramah. The Osen Agulim Yerukim, those round green things, Shegazra Malchus, that the government decreed. Shekol Yehudi Yisosan Yisachas Mehen Biksuso, that a Jew should carry them, carry these things on his garment. He should Yisa, he should carry them in his garment. Mutter, latzeis behem afilu eino tafer b'ksuso. He's allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. It's not hosa otza. It's not an isser of carrying on Shabbos. even if it's not tafer b'ksuso, even if it isn't actually sewn to his garment, rak mechover sham ktsas, even if it's only a little bit connected. And this is from the psak of the Or Zeruah, and the Or Zeruah concludes that the reason is because it's considered a malbush. And in this particular tshuva, Rav Oshri doesn't go through many sources. He just uses this psak of the Ramah, and from here he comes to a conclusion. Nira mizeh, it would seem from here, ki davar she'amalchus harisha rosha levayish bos Yisrael, something that the evil government wants to embarrass the Jewish people with. And they say, take a little bit of a green garment to embarrass you, to show everybody you're a Jew, like in the time of the Nazis, it was that yellow star. Nevertheless, the Ramah says you're allowed to go out on Shabbos. It's considered a malbush. And what's a malbush? We know malbush is covered. Levush is low bush. No embarrassment. Rav Oshri says that it's a covered. It's a covered. We're Jewish. Ulefize benidon didan, and therefore in our case as well. So they wanted to be mashbil us. They wanted to lower us. They wanted to demoralize us and put these numbers on our flesh. We're just a bunch of animals. We're just a bunch of numbers. So he says this shouldn't lower our kavod, but adarabba, this should be a sign of honor and glory, and that look at who we are. We are never the aggressors. We're the victims, and it's a busha for the Nazis. And what the Nazis wanted is that if anybody ever finds a Jew, oh, they'll see the tattoo and they'll just go ahead and kill him. But for us, it's just the opposite. It's an os. Zechoris asher asal lachan molek. Remember what they did to us. And chas v'shalom that we should forget. Chas v'shalom we should ever forget the Holocaust. Zechoris asher asal lachan molek. Zechor yimoy salam binu shnos dor v'dor. And look at what these animals did. These b'nei banav shel Haman. Haman wanted the final solution. They wanted the final solution. So this is really a sign of honor for us. Look at who we are, we're Jewish. And Chova Kfula Mechupelas Mutelas Aleinu, like the Lashon of the Haggadah, we have a double obligation. Dafka Liskoras Kol Rosh Husam, to remember all their evil. V'lo Lasiechas Da'ateinu Afrega Mikol HaRosh Olanu, never to forget all the evil they did to us. And that's why we're giving these shiurim of Holocaust response, of all the shiurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been mezakeh me to give. I don't know if there's anything more important to say, to talk about, than what happened during the Holocaust, and to do it in the context of Talmud Torah. And I know it's Tzaddik, who's a Baki in Shas, and Baki in Poskim, Rishonim and Achronim, a Jew who spends day and night learning Torah and helping people. But every day he has a Seder to remember the Holocaust. Not a survivor of the camps, not the son of a survivor, but somebody who knows that this is so critical for us to remember. The worst thing that happened, as the Imre Amos writes in his letter, Me'al Shahaisa Lagoy, from the time we became a nation, there's never been anything as bad as the Holocaust. So we have to remember it. That's what Rav Oshri is saying over here. And the Germans want us to forget it, and the world wants us to forget it, and just get on with your lives. Chas v'shalom. And I always tell this story, I don't know if I always, but I've said it here before, that Simon Wiesenthal, the famous Nazi hunter, was once talking to a bunch of very wealthy businessmen, and he said, listen, you guys, after 120, you're going to leave the world with a lot more money than I am. You, Baruch Hashem, are very successful. The Baruch Hashem I'm adding, I don't know if Simon Wiesenthal said Baruch Hashem, but it could very well be that he did. But he said, me, you know what my merit is? He says, after I go from this world, there are going to be 6 million people in the next world, and they're going to point to me as I go by, and they're going to say, he didn't forget us. And that's the schus that I want us all to have, that after 120 when we go up there, or Bekarab, we should see Tchias HaMesim, and they should all come up, and all the Jews, and they can point to me and to you, and to say, thank you for not forgetting us. Thank you for not forgetting everything we did for the Jewish people, how we died because we were Jews, and what this means, and that you grew from our experiences, and that we were a source of merit for you. Thank you for connecting to us. Thank you for not forgetting us. So I hope that we can have this chus also of not forgetting. And that's what we have to do. Yivod abagoyim leinenu nikmas dam avadecha ashafuch ki doresh tam nimosam zocher lo shochach tzakas anavim yadin bagoyim alayi vos machas rosh alayetz rabo. It's very nice for Shabbos morning shacharis, but we have to remember, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget what happened to us, and we can also never forget, and that's really an act of God. That's ve'alachta b'drachav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even have the ability to forget kaviyachol. So we should remember what is important to remember. L'zos chas v'shalom l'isha hazos l'havir mizroa misbar zeh. God forbid that the woman should remove this number from her arm. Ki b'zeh v'nasenes yad l'poshim r'germanim harurim. With this she gives her hand, she helps the evil, cursed Nazi sinners. And she helps them try to make people forget all of the tortures that the Jewish people went through. And it strengthens the sonim that have such sin against us. And they say that I'm only making it up. But rather, she should carry this with great honor, with great glory. And she should see how God avenges these enemies, with the bia of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amein. And with that, Rav Ashri ends his tshuva. So he tells this woman, he says, you're embarrassed, don't be embarrassed, be proud. As we see that this is an os of kavod. I think there are grounds in which one could possibly argue with Rav Ashri. They can say that it causes her so much personal anguish, and maybe she should be allowed to cover it up without getting into the question of making a tattoo over a tattoo, of having skin grafts. That's a question. There's a question in Poskim if somebody has tattoos and he wants to cover them up afterwards. Is it mutter for him? Because now he goes to mikvah. Sometimes you go to mikvah, you see tattoos, people from their former life. So is it mutter or not mutter? He doesn't even get into that. He just says that it doesn't matter, mutter aser, he doesn't even talk about it. What matters is that it's kavod, and you should enjoy this kavod that you have to be a survivor of the Nazi inferno. So one could say no, since it causes her, she'll never forget. Believe me, nobody who ever went through the Holocaust ever forgot. Everybody remembered. And the Klal Yisrael remembered, and there are plenty of other people walking around with numbers on their arms, and the world will never forget, and will never let the world forget. Maybe since it causes her so much tremendous anguish and she's going to be suffering anyway, maybe one could be making, but Rav Ashri doesn't take that path. Rav Ashri says that you must keep it, be gaon, and with great pride, you should carry this number. You are special, you are a member of the Jewish people, you are chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and this number is a sign of that. It's a sign of your chosenness. And why do they hate us? They hate us, it says in the Gemara, Sinai Shemisham Yarda Sinala Olam, that we are chosen, we are holy, we are, as Yimach Shemo himself said, the conscience of the world. And that's what they're fighting against. And we should be proud to be Jewish, and we should be proud that we were not the aggressors, we were the victims. Like I once read a story in the Holocaust that somebody was suffering so much, and then a rabbi, I think it was the Blujover Rebbe, he tried to make him feel better, and he said, tell me something, if you could, would you be the Nazi, if you could trade places with him and he'll be the Jew? And he said, no, Rebbe, never, never, I would never want to be him. I'd always rather to be the Jew, the one who was being tortured, and not the one, chas v'shalom, torturing others. So just to conclude, with the feeling of being special, despite all of the suffering that we have endured, I saw a story yesterday that really brought tears to my eyes, and I think that it's something that should be publicized, something that people should hear about. A true story. This happened in 1958 in Forest Hill, Queens, and there was a young boy. And this boy later on grew up to be a Rav in England, and he told this story to Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who wrote a book radical then, radical now. So I am not giving my haskama to everything written in the book, necessarily. Not that I think Rabbi Sachs would ask me for my haskama, or not that he even needs my haskama, but just the title struck me a little bit, radical then, radical now. I would probably have felt better if he would have said traditional then, traditional now. I don't know if radical is necessarily a great religious value, but I haven't read the whole book, so I can't comment. But this story I read, and if he just published the whole book, and just all there was in it was this story that was worthwhile, so I think it would have been worth it, because it's such a beautiful, moving story. And this man today, his name is Rav Yitzchak Rubin, and he's a rabbi in Manchester, if I'm not mistaken. See, he was a young boy living in Forest Hills in 1958, and he wasn't particularly religious, so he was in his own shul, and frankly, he found the going quite boring. The davening was boring. So he heard that there's a new shtiebel in town, so he decided to check out the shtiebel. And the rabbi of the shtiebel looked on the Forest Hill scene in 1958. You didn't see too many yidden walk around looking like this, mitten bored, mitten pious, mitten kabbalate. He had a hat, he had a beard, he had payas. He had the whole Hasidic garb. The rabbi of the shtiebel. So he went to check out what goes on in the shtiebel. So he goes into the shtiebel to daven. And after davening, the rabbi approaches him. Shalom Aleichem. He said, maybe you can do me a favor. I'm having a Pesach Seder, and I would like you to join us. Me and my wife, we have nobody to ask the manishtana, nobody to ask the four questions. So maybe you can come and you can do that for us. So the young man, Yitzchak Rubin, now known as Rav Yitzchak Rubin, back then he was probably Ira Rubin or Stevie Rubin. So he took the invitation and he comes to the Pesach Seder. About a half hour into the Seder, the rabbi who was sitting with his wife and his daughter excused himself. His daughter was crying. So he took the daughter into the next room. And he spent a half hour some time, I don't remember the exact amount of time, I think it was about a half hour into the Seder, but he spent some time with his daughter, trying to soothe her, singing her back to sleep. And he continued with the Seder. He came back. What was the story behind his daughter? The daughter was the daughter of the rabbi and his wife. The rabbi and his wife had been through the camps. The rabbi had gone to Treblinka. His wife had also gone to various camps, and they were separated. And besides all the other suffering that his wife had to endure, they also did medical experiments on her. And after the war, she was told, you're never going to be able to have children, even though she was reunited with her husband. But they said the doctors told her, sorry, you've been sterilized, you can never have children again. And they went from doctor to doctor, and treatment to treatment, and after supplicating the Rofei Cholbasar, after many years, they were finally zoche to have this child, this daughter, B'chazdei Hashem Aleihem. And of course they loved this daughter very much. The daughter was the apple of their eye. And then when the daughter was crying, the father obviously wanted to soothe the daughter, and he brought her to the other room until she fell back asleep. Now everything that this Rav Yitzchak Rubin saw was very beautiful and very inspiring, seeing these Jews who had suffered so much and experiencing a Seder with them, and seeing the love and the adoration that they had for their daughter, and seeing the Kedusha and the Emunah that these people projected. All of this was an inspiration for young Yitzchak Rubin. However, what eventually brought him to become a Rav and to become a very pious Jew was something else. It wasn't just the Seder, and it wasn't just their Emuna, and it wasn't just that he sang to his daughter. It was the words that he used at the time he didn't understand exactly, but later on he reconstructed it, and he remembered what were the words that he was singing to his daughter. It was a Yiddish song. And afterwards he realized, sometime later, that the words that he was saying, sometimes you hear words and at the time you don't understand them and only later you understand. He realized the words that the rabbi was singing to his daughter were This is good to Zayin Ayid. It is good to be a Jew. And the father was singing that to his daughter. This is good to Zayin Ayid. This is Zis to Zayin Ayid. I don't remember if it was good or it was sweet, but that's what he was singing to his daughter. You can look it up in the book to see if the Lashon was good or Zis. I think it's Zis, if I remember correctly. It says Zis to Zayin Ayid. It is sweet to be a Jew. And that is after having gone through the Holocaust and all the horrors and his wife being used like a rat in a laboratory for medical experimentation. And yet, when he wants to soothe his daughter, he sings to her in Yiddish that it is sweet to be a Jew. We should all be zocha always to taste the sweetness of being a Jew, and we should spread that sweetness to others. And in that zchus, we'll be zocha mir tashem to taste the sweetness of the Geula Hashlema, v'mehirah v'yameinu, amen v'amen.